Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and again, we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God, and I'm trying to get all these buttons pushed. And let's see here. Oh, there we go. And, well, this morning we talked about the Logos, the Word. You know, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And this use of the word Logos, it does mean Word, but there's other Greek words that mean Word that don't mean what Logos means. Because really, what Logos means is right reason. And this right reason of the Logos is very important for us to understand, as it is Logos, the right reason of Christ that makes the gospel what it is. And a lot of people don't understand what the gospel of the kingdom really is and what that Logos really stands for, because they have been taught something that is simply not the case. It's not really true. It's not really what the gospel of the kingdom is all about. And so they're actually following these ideas and religions. It's not pure religion. It's not righteousness, because that's one of the things that we're supposed to be seeking, is the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. And people are actually, I'm trying to get to, for some reason or other, oh, that's interesting, is my keyboard locked? I can't believe this. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Just end up giving you a little bit of dead time while I'm... I was going to continue to talk about the Logos, but actually I was thinking that we should move over to another page that I've worked on many times, but I shared it on Facebook that somebody was saying, seeing that there's this breakdown in society and we need to go back, and this is one aspect of the Logos, is what when Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins." And, of course, that same word that we see as charity is also the word we see as love. And so it's really easy to say you love somebody, but it costs something to be charitable. And people in society have gotten so that they are a lot more selfish than they realize. And one of the things that has made them so selfish is their fixation on religion. I was just talking with people concerning different religions that are found around the world. And some of them, the original gurus or prophets or whatever it is who set up those religions, they had some very good things to say. But as time goes on, the people unmoor the meaning of what they taught and turn them into rituals, mindless rituals often, that do not provide anything that could be even remotely considered righteous. And you could go to all sorts of religions. We mentioned Tao this morning because the Tao is actually a word that is similar to Logos, but it's a Chinese word. But it actually means the same thing, because logos means right reason, or it's actually supposed to represent how the universe works. It's the law of nature. If you do this, this happens. If you do that, this happens. And understanding how it all works gives you right reason. But if you calculate that, oh, no, we don't have to be charitable, we don't have to care for one another, we can actually do something different, and it leads to bondage. It actually degenerates us as a people. And when we were studying tribalism, and we went through some of that, and we have a page on tribalism at Preparing You, you can look up, that this idea of tribalism is a way in which we relate as a people. And there's good tribalism and there's bad tribalism. There's good characteristics of gathering together, and there's bad ways in which to gather together, and some of them cause a degeneration of the people. And one of the things that was in this idea of tribalism is this idea that hard times produce strong men, and strong men produce good times, and good times produce weak men, and weak men produce hard times. And that's a cycle, and there's several ways of putting it, but that's one way that happens in society, where they become very free, they become very prosperous, and then they begin to decay. And so what you need to do is have a way in which you raise your children, the next generation, in which they do not enter into that decay process, that you do it in a way that they were more likely to do the right thing. And so you have certain values in your culture, like you can have the value of sacrifice for others. And that's one of the key sacrifices. Sacrificing for others is one of the key ideas in a successful society. And, of course, love is sacrifice, because love is charity. It's taking what you have of value and giving it away for the benefit of somebody else. Now, you have to do it wisely, because if you give away in a way that's unwise, you will weaken the poor. And so that's very important to understand. But when we look at 1 Peter chapter 4, if we start at chapter 4, because we're not going to do the whole Peter, we should do a study on Peter, and maybe by the time somebody listens to this some other time, we will have that study up. Now, we have, the epistles of Peter, and we do have some studies on Peter, but I notice in chapter 4 of the 1 Peter, we don't really have the standard side panel where we discuss it. I actually have the section that says fervent charity in it, which is in verse 8, as a hot link to the article on fervent charity. And then, of course, there's another link to an article we have on charity. But just to understand fervent charity in the context, we can actually read at least that chapter. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. Christ sacrificed himself. He says, arm yourself likewise with the same mind of that sacrifice. You don't come together in a congregation for what you can get. You come together in a congregation for what you can sacrifice for the benefit of others. And, of course, the benefit of others doesn't mean making them weak, but rather making them strong. So we come together with the mind of Christ so that others might be saved, not to save ourselves, because in caring about others, we find the righteousness of God if we do it in a righteous way, so that we might be saved as well. Because Christ came not to save himself, but to save that others might be saved. So that would be the same mind of Christ in us if that's why we're gathering. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Wow. Wow. Now, how do you cease from sin? In other words, sacrifice, charity. Charity is one of the greatest things, according to Paul, is to cease from sin. And what are the sins? Well, we can go through a lot of this, but I think it'll be too much of a sidetrack. So let's just go on to verse 2 and see if you can put it together yourself. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Not my will, but thine be done. That's what Christ said. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. So in the past they were doing the will of the Gentiles, but now they're going to do the will of God. When we walked in lasciviousness and lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. Now, idolatry is covetousness. That's what it says elsewhere in the Bible. Idolatry is covetousness. Covetousness is idolatry. Same thing. The banquets, lasciviousness, and lusts, these are actually links that you can go to other articles that we have there. I could actually put links in for Gentiles and everything. But the key thing is that when they thought like the Gentiles, then it's not just about having parties. But it's about eating the dainties of rulers, which is the abominable idolatries. Because the rulers give you what they take away from your neighbors. So we know that the rulers who provide dainties and our appetite for those dainties is a covetous practice and is the essence of idolatry. We know this more so when we understand that the temples of Israel were government buildings. That's where you went to get your welfare. That's where you went to get your free bread. And, of course, today you go someplace to get your free bread, and you get it from men who are rulers who take away from others. I mean, like all your student loans that are getting paid off, they're not getting paid off except by taking away from others. Even if they just paid it off with borrowed money, they're taking away from many others, because all the money in your bank account is decreasing in value because they're printing more of the notes than they actually have anything to back it. So inflation will rob your neighbor. So that's a covetous practice, to desire, you know, a stimulus check or benefits from a man who exercised authority. That's all idolatry. That's all lasciviousness. That's all lust and greed, because you desire at the expense of others. That is the antithesis of loving your neighbor, which is sacrificing for your neighbor. There's nothing wrong with paying taxes. If you owe, pay the tax. But there's something wrong with being greedy for gain at the expense of others. That's the covetous practice. So if you look at verse 4, wherein they think it's strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Because they call evil good, which is covetous practices, is good. You know, socialism is good. Socialism is always a covetous practice. They're going to take away from those who work really hard and give it to those who don't really hardly work. That's a covetous practice. Christ was not a socialist. He was all for taking care of the poor, but not through force. And that's one of the things we talked about this morning in the Logos, is that Caesar was called the Son of God. Caesar was called the Savior. Jesus was, you know, according to the prophecy of the angel talking to Mary, that your son will be called the Son of God. And then when they mention that in the Bible, that he is the Son of God, they're literally poking at this king called Caesar. Although Julius Caesar said, I am not a king, I am Caesar. And we explained a little bit of that this morning, that Caesar was actually his family name. And Julius was actually his clan name, and his actual name was Gaius. So anyway, but idea of the emperor being the Son of God and Jesus being the Son of God and the emperor being the savior of the people and Jesus being the savior of the people, they say, well, look at the parallels, all the parallels, but what's the difference? That Jesus wanted you to take care of one another through choice and fervent charity. You choose, you personally today choose to give to others in a way that strengthens the poor, in a way that provides all the social welfare for your society through charity. Caesar wanted to provide all the social welfare for his society through men who exercise authority by giving away gifts, gratuities, and benefits. And Julius Caesar did it first by selling 1 million Gauls into slavery and killing hundreds of thousands of people, destroying whole vast tribes of people, and then bestowed the benefit of that on the people of Rome. He was doing that even before he became a general, but when he became a general and he monetized the value of the war, you know, he often borrowed money to give to the poor, but he was personally responsible for the debt. Now, when your governments of the world today, like Biden, is borrowing the money to pay off student loans, he doesn't owe that money back. You do. Because he's borrowing it in the name of all those who are members of the United States, you know, beneficiaries of the United States, all the people who have Social Security numbers. He is borrowing in their name, and they owe that debt back. And their children and their children's children will owe that debt back. He is not paying off your student loans with fervent charity. He's paying off your student loans with legal charity. And we have an article on legal charity, and you can find that by going to Fervent Charity or going up there and looking in the search engine to find that. We know from our study of history, and we shared a lot of that this morning. We shared it in a lot of places. We shared about legal history. Legal charity. We share the history of legal charity in America. It didn't begin with FDR, but it was a huge leap forward in the realm of legal charity with FDR. It expanded even more so with LBJ, and then with Obama and many others, and now with Biden. To pay off your student loan is legal charity. Legal meaning a binding charity. Binding charity, you say, well, how is that a binding charity? Now, I talked about that, too, and Paul talks about that. The show before this talks about, you know, saving us from Paul, but they don't understand Paul. Paul's talking to you about things hard to understand, and people don't understand Paul. But part of the reason a lot of people don't understand Paul is they don't understand the gospel. Paul's just quoting other prophets a lot of the time. But if you don't know the other prophets, you may miss it. You know, like when he even says in the case of their table is a snare, he says he's quoting David. And then we can go back to David and see that David is saying what should have been for their welfare is a snare and a trap. And we can go to Proverbs, and like I say, you can look up the word dainties that, because they talk about this snare and trap and net. The one purse is a net. You're captured in the net of your own making when you all decide to have one purse, which socialism is one purse. See, you can go everywhere in the Bible that talks about this. And that's why I went through a lot of the lesser prophets to begin with to show you that even in them, every one of them, they're talking about these covetous practices in one form or another. So he's saying, you know, like in verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. But when he says all things, what does he mean? Because the end of the world didn't take place. But, of course, if you look in the Bible for end of the world, they're actually not talking about the end of the planet. They're talking about the end of an age, and at the end of one age comes another age. And what happened when Rome collapsed? It was the end of an age, the age of Rome, the end of the age of the Pax Romana. And it was the beginning of a new age, which a lot of people call the Dark Ages, but they really call it the Dark Ages because they don't want you to know what was going on. Because what was going on was the people were free for 1,000 years almost. You know, from 10, if you go from 1066 back to 66 A.D., that's 1,000 years. 66 A.D., the Jews were destroyed by the very Caesar. They said they had no king but Caesar. They weren't honorable with Caesar. They cheated Caesar, and Caesar came back and destroyed them. And Caesar's always done that. He did it with Corinth, you know, 50 years before Christ, or more than 50 years before Christ, he did it with Corinth. They destroyed Corinth. Probably that was about 150 years before Christ. Because Polybius was saying, you know, the people becoming accustomed to living at the expense of the masses, with an appetite for benefits, become accustomed to living at the expense of others and depending for their livelihood on the property of others. That's what America is doing today. That's what all the people who got their student loans supposedly paid off, are depending on the property of others to pay off their debt. And that and all the other benefits that they want from men who exercise authority is going to generate them into a bunch of Karens. Or what do they call guys who are Karens? Are those Kins? I don't know what they. There's probably some name for them. But what happens is that they get to be tossed to and fro with the what we talked about this morning, this ethos and pathos, mostly pathos, because they have this adoration. In the case of the Democrats, it's pathos. I mean, what Democrat does everybody bow down and worship? No, but the emotionalism used on the Democratic side, you know, the I Hate Trump Club and everything. But now we have this MAGA movement, what do they call it, where everybody thinks Trump is their salvation. That's ethos. That's where you hold some personality up to be greater than they actually are, and you think that your salvation is in that personality, that individual. And a lot of people saw that with FDR. You know, they just adored FDR, thought he was could do no wrong. Of course, he was doing wrong all the time. It's amazing the number of people that liked LBJ. That's Lyndon Baines Johnson. I saw one of these TikToks that were showing these people being asked all these questions like, Who did America fight in the American Revolution? Who fought in the Civil War? And, you know, how many states are there? And they're saying things like four. Although one woman was asked, what countries border the United States? And you could take that question a couple different ways, but she said Canada. And that's true. Canada borders the United States. And then she said the Soviet Union. And the guy treated that like that's a wrong answer. Well, up there, you know, if you go look on a map between Canada and Siberia, which is Russia, I guess it may have said Russia, because Soviet Union supposedly collapsed, you know. And that would be true if I hadn't saw Blast from the Past. So all you movie buffs, you can go watch Blast from the Past. And you got to watch it to the end to get that, the humor of that. But anyway, the reality is that up there in Alaska, you Alaska goes off coast a little ways, and then Siberia goes off coast a little bit. And we border the Soviet Union. The United States actually borders the Soviet Union. So her answer was actually correct. I don't know if the guys understood that. But the guy was looking for the, you know, the contiguous 48 states, not the 50 states. And so I think he wanted the answer of Mexico. But anyway, that was just me being technical. I'm often very technical. You know, you watch a old Western with me, and I'll be saying, well, I have a brother who does this even more so than me, where he says, oh, those tapaderos, nobody's using those tapaderos at that time. And that bit, that's not a common bit. That they'd use a basal. They wouldn't use a snaffle like that.